I guess your thoughts on the stadium, you know, that you...
I haven't yet been over
to
see it. We're going to go on a tour after this, but from the outside, it looks extraordinary. I've been following it online from back in New York and obviously talking to the Wolves on a regular basis, but I think it's terrific. I think the way they brought the community in and the facility itself is obviously going to be state-of-the-art, and I think it's going to be great for our fans and great for this community.
What about, you know, you look over there and you think about this week, all that happened in security. How does security enter in when the NFL's got stadiums and everything else, given what we saw this last week and all the concerns?
Well, it's always been a high priority for us. Obviously, all of our events, we want to make sure that they have the highest level of security. We are, fortunately, have the highest level of security as it relates to Homeland Security in their plans. And we're proud of that, and it's something that we have been ahead of the curve on. Obviously, when tragic events like that happened last year, we doubled down. We looked to see if there's anything else that we can be doing, any other information that we get from Homeland Security or anybody else, law enforcement, that would help us do a better job. We do it, and there's no compromising on that. And so we want to ensure our fans come and have a safe experience, and that's something that we'll continue to be at the highest priority.
I see Matt Burke there. Matt's in your office now. What's he bringing to the table?
I'm not sure I can say that on camera right now. No, you know what? I have tremendous respect for him. I got to know Matt a little bit more when he was NFL Man of the Year several years ago. And he's every bit of Man of the Year. I think he's representative of the vast majority of our players who I think do great things in their community. And Matt's one of those guys. And we were able to attract him to come in and help us be a part of the NFL and make the NFL better. And he does every day. So we're proud to have him.
How long did you plan to come to this game?
How long did I plan? How long in advance did I plan to be here?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was sometime in October.
Okay. Yeah. Roger, you mentioned potentially breaking up the officiating crews. Mm-hmm. Where did that idea come from? And are you discussing that internally or with the referees union?
Both. Is the reality. I mean, we will share that, obviously, with everyone. Again, it's just another effort to try to get consistency. I mean, the number one thing you want to officiate is consistency. And we see there is a range from high to low as far as the number of fouls that are called by crew. And what can we do to try to make sure that it's done consistently and there shouldn't be as much of a range? Obviously, some of that, as you know, is based on the game. If fouls are occurred, they should call more fouls.
Right.
We're not trying, but over a season, that should start to become pretty level as they have different opponents.
Would that be something, though, you change once a season or on a weekly basis?
Those are some of the questions we're going through. Whether you do it once a year, whether you integrate a couple officials here and there on a rotating basis. As one point you may remember, too, we talked about potentially having a small number of our officials be full-time, and those officials would rotate potentially. We have not been able to reach an agreement with the Officials Association on that.
Are full-time officials something you're still talking about?
Yeah, we believe that, at least on a limited basis, it could be very, very much a positive for our officials, for our clubs, obviously, our fans, to bring that consistency to the level up.
Commissioners, you look back at the Adrian Peterson child abuse situation. Is there anything you think the NFL should have done differently during the entire process?
Well, I'm sure there are. That's why we redid our personal conduct policy. That's why we spent so much time evaluating how we do that. And a lot of attention goes on to discipline. But what we've really spent most of our time is, what kind of services can we provide? What kind of education can we provide to prevent these incidents from occurring? And to make sure that our players, our coaches, our executives, every one of us uphold the standards, but also understand how to make better decisions.
How do you feel about this bounce back season Adrian's had, and have you had a chance to talk to him at all this year about anything or meet him at all this year?
I haven't seen him yet this year, but you know, he's an extraordinary player and a wonderful young man. And so I was very impressed in all my meetings with Adrian. He's an individual who took it seriously and said, I want to do better. And I think he's taking great advantage of that opportunity.
What's the most important part of educating the public, and maybe yourselves on the whole concussion, you know, you start talking about it's an NFL thing, but really if it doesn't start in junior high and whatnot, you know, that's what's going to feed you the NFL.
We don't take that perspective. We think the whole awareness of concussions head injuries and how to treat them, how to prevent them. What we're doing in research is going to benefit to society in general. It's not just the NFL. It's not just college or high school or youth football. It's every sport. My twin daughters play soccer and lacrosse. I want to make sure that the coaches who are coaching them understand what to look for and that they're going to have the proper treatment if an injury occurs. And they do. And so what we have to do is try to make sure that everything we learn in this area, we are sharing with every entity. And it goes well beyond sports, too. But one of the areas where we shared a great deal of information is with the military. When they have injuries on the battlefield, they call it return to the battlefield. We call it return to play. But those protocols are very similar because we work together. So our effort here is to try to make society better as well as protecting our players. And I think the more awareness there is, the better that's going to, the more effective that's going to be. I think that's the case.
Roger, when you talk about streamlining instant replay, is using the Microsoft Surface tablets on the field an option after you tested that in the preseason?
Yeah, it is an option. We're going to continue to look at that. We're obviously, you know, we've seen it work in other circumstances. And I think that's one way which we can shave some time between walking over to the sideline. But you want to make sure that they're going to have the right kind of view there at that point in time, that whether it's weather, sun reflection, any kind of interference with trying to get the best possible outcome is something we would have a problem with. So we're trying to take all those hurdles away, frankly.
Could you ever visualize a centralized system like the NHL has, where they just have a bunch of people in one room with all the games on and make those calls from there?
We actually think we have a great system right now where we have the officials that are on the field that are responsible for it that have one perspective. And then we have our officiating crew back in New York that has another perspective. And to be able to use both of those to ultimately get to the right outcome, we think is actually the best system. And that's why we'll continue to tweak that. Last year was the first year. It's made a big difference, of course.
How long do you think the ball needs to be held for it to be a catch, Roger?
You know, that we debated that in the office the last couple of weeks. And I think what we really we're going to do is get some people to really focus on evaluating every one of these and try to see, because it's a balance between what you think is a catch, what the officials can officiate on a consistent basis, and what's going to have what we call the unintended consequences. If it's too short a time or too long a time, you're going to get more fumbles on the field and what kind of impact that has. So there are a lot of issues that need to be balanced in there. It's not that simple a question. A lot of people believe the right way to do it is the second foot down and control, that's the catch. That's something we'll have to look at.
Obviously,
again,
the Vikings are going back inside, and the NFL, it seems like, has really figured out how to capture the imagination of a good December game or a game like today outside. From the NFL's perspective, would you like all outdoor stadiums just to and take the chance and get a good snowfall?
Well, I'm one that grew up in Western New York, so I sort of love the elements. And I think that's what football's all about. So I love a great outdoor game. On the other hand, you know, these stadiums are built with a lot of considerations, including the community considerations. Can you use it for other events? I dare say you wouldn't have a Final Four coming if you didn't have a dome. So those are compromises you have to make if you're going to have a facility that's going to be used multiple times and have the greatest impact on the community. And that's something we recognize. So while we love being outdoors, we love being on natural grass, we also understand that there are other events that need to come into these facilities, and sometimes those involve compromises on what we may like all the time.
So retractable roof is perfect.
That helps. Let's put it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.